Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a wonderful Wednesday today. I am broadcasting today live from Las Vegas, Nevada. About to go to the convention center here in a little bit after the shows. It's only noon here, so it's pretty exciting. The weather's fantastic. I've been talking to a few people so far. I haven't been here very long, so I haven't got a chance to really do much investigative reporting on anything yet. However, I have talked to a couple Uber drivers and a few locals, and pretty much everybody here has the exact same story, is that there was multiple shooters involved. Some are saying up to three or four shooters there. They've had people that were working there. There were had friends that were there. I've not talked to anybody yet that had anybody that was there that had gotten shot or killed. But from everybody I've talked to, they said even the videos and the locals that saw the event, nobody ever saw a single rifle flash come from the 32nd floor or anywhere around that area of the building whatsoever. So I thought that's pretty interesting. That's what people are saying here right on Vegas Strip. I mean, I passed Mandalay Bay trying to get over here to the hotel I'm at right now. And they do have the area shut off over where the concert was. You can't get to it. It's still all blocked off. There's like flowers and stuff over there. But from what I saw, just from visually driving through, that guy, if that actually was what the story was, he was an incredible shot. That's why I don't believe it at all. The drop, the angle, the distance, this, there's no way it happened. Not now, seeing it in person, the shooting would have been literally miraculous. And the fact that nobody at all saw a single muzzle flash really boggles my mind. And the fact that we've been lied to again, Dad. But anyways, how are you doing today, Dad?
Doing great. We're still in North Carolina, 73 degrees day. Chemtrails everywhere, whole total haze everywhere. Trying to heat it back up again, I guess. Who knows? But I thought I wanted to see. Now, let me ask you a few questions since you just got there. The use of a 223 weapon, which is what they're saying he did, is that even possible with these distances you're looking at?
Slow, steady, long-range fire with a long barrel, like a sniper AR, something like a 20-inch barrel with a very high-powered scope, and understanding your ballistics, yes, it would be possible if you understood your ballistics, your windage, your arc, all that stuff. With automatic weapon fire or with a bump fire, no, not at all, in my opinion. It's windy here. It's not abnormal at all. It's exactly what I thought. We're out in the desert. There's a nice breeze. It's not uncomfortable. But push that up to 320 feet in the air, let that breeze take a 55-grain round and try and launch it 400 or 500 yards. I don't think it was even possible. I don't even think the shooting took place from the hotel, period. I think all of it took place from the ground. That's what the last Uber driver told me. He said that the people he knew there said there were people on the ground shooting that were in all black. There's supposedly, I can't confirm this, but he said supposedly somebody was on top of a tractor trailer that somebody had seen shooting. That's where they saw a muzzle flash actually coming from the opposite side towards where the airport fuel tankers were that they talked about. Whether or not that's accurate, I don't know. I can't confirm it, but it seems much more plausible that somebody was shooting at that closer of a distance than from 300 feet up in the air from 500 yards away.
Well, what's also interesting today, I read another article in which they went to the airplane logs and the takeoff logs from the airport there in Vegas, and three helicopters were launched right before the shooting, and they actually hovered over the Mandalay area for about 10 minutes. And I found that interesting because they even said that there could have been a high probability that this thing could have occurred the way they're saying it did, but not with anything from the ground, but they were using like a saw.
Sure, I thought both of us cut out there for a second. Yes, that also is very plausible. I don't know where Dad went on his system. I'm on a landline, though, ha ha ha, right now, so I know it's not my system. but yes, I've also heard that, too, as far as the helicopter plausibility, that there was something from a further distance away. And in my opinion, if they were doing that, they were probably running something like an M240, which would be like a newer version of an M60, a 308 caliber. That would have the effectiveness of what that round did, and would also have much more stopping power from that range of distance. So I don't know. I'm going to continue to do some more research on where we are down here, and we'll just see what happens with it.
All right, awesome. I feel the same way about it. We'll see what happens. Did you get any of the information I was talking about, the helicopters, or was that bubbled out?
You pretty much stopped after the helicopters. You cut out again.
Okay, that's fine. At least it cut me off at a good place. I had a it doesn't matter why it went out. My Skype went out. By the way, Putin now is asking a question, and I think he's right about this. Why is Russian DNA being collected by foreign agents? This is, in fact, he says it may be for the purpose of producing ethnic bioweapons. In a recent speech to a human rights gathering, Russian President Vladimir Putin made the claim that the U.S. Special Service agents were collecting DNA samples from Russians of different ethnic groups as part of the development of a possible bioweapon. Do you know that do you know that the biological materials collected all over the country for different ethnic groups and peoples living in different geographical areas of the Russian Federation? The question is, why are they doing it? And they are doing it purposely and professionally, he said. We are an object of great interest. Of course, we do not need to have any fear about it. Let them do whatever they want, and we'll do whatever we have to do. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov later clarified the samples are being collected by foreign, non-governmental organizations. Now, the reason I wanted to bring this up, because such a weapon, if used, could theoretically kill anyone with a specific gene marker, or could be used to sterilize the men or women of a specific ethnic group. It is believed that both the U.S. and Russia were working on bioweapons during the Cold War and in the late 1990s, and it's reported that Israel was developing a similar biological weapon that could target Arabs and specific genomes and nationalities. Now, this is the research that is going on now. This is so advanced that it's absolutely mind-boggling, but they've been doing this as part of the eugenics protocol for over 100 years. The Rockefeller Foundation had two strategies for management. This is an article that I want to read to you guys by Latham, PhD. The article found the Rockefeller Foundation had two strategies for management that were distinct but complementary to control human behavior at the level of social structures, family, work, and emotions, which the foundation referred to by the names as psychobiology, and to control human behavior at the level of molecules. Many people date the DNA revolution to the discovery of its structure by Dr. James Watson and Francis Crick in 1953, but it really began 30 years earlier, conceived by the mind of John D. Rockefeller. Thus, it is fitting that DNA is named after him. DNA stands for deoxyribonucleic acid, and the ribo stands for the Rockefeller Institute of Biochemistry. I kid you not, guys, that's what the ribo stands for in DNA, is the Rockefeller Institute of Biochemistry. The Rockefeller Institute Foundation had become interested in DNA because its trustees feared a Bolshevik-style revolution. Intense public resentment had already compelled the breakup of the Standard Oil Company in 1911, so the foundation sought ways, said trustee Harry Pratt Justin in 1913, to reinforce the police power of the state. They intended to find the ultimate key to human behavior that would allow the resentful and envious mobs to effectively be managed. This goes right back to what they did at Tavistock after World War I. The foundation had two strategies for management which were distinct but complementary, to control human behavior at the level of social structures, family, work, and emotions, which they've done now with their media, and the foundation referred to by names such as psychobiology, and to control human behavior at the level of molecules and DNA. The second aim of the science of man strategy was seen as purely based on scientific rationality. To the Rockefeller Foundation trustees, however, now rationality meant eugenics. Eugenic theory, by definition, implies that humans' genes contain hidden determinants for traits like civility, intelligence, and obedience. Logically, such determinants ought to be discoverable, reasoned the foundation's trustees. If science were able to peer deep enough, it would discover those mechanisms and molecules that cause this upward causation of effective behavior. Once identified, such controlling elements, which were initially presumed to be proteins, could be understood and made use of. This is how interesting, how they're directly targeting us, guys. The immediate goal was to attribute diseases of smoking to the genetic origins. Again, basically, the tobacco industry was determined to find the gene defects that might lead to lung cancer and addiction. Tobacco executives thought correctly that finding even limited evidence that would blame the genes rather than their products would be able to prevent negative publicity concerning their products. Guys, this is what they've done. This is what they're doing. And now they're using the Morgellons antenna and your DNA as a transformer coil, a step-up double helix transformer coil, to connect you directly into the Internet of Things, to transfer your DNA, your biological signature, which is unique with every individual, into the giant supercomputer with a D-Wave Alpha computer. This is their goal. So when Putin says something like this, guys, he's not joking. He's not kidding. He's serious about it. What do you think about that, son?
Yeah, that is pretty, that's pretty wild. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, the fact that we've known they've been doing this stuff for years, now that they're getting called out for it, is a good thing. I mean, because this is exactly where they're trying to head all this stuff. They're trying to keep it and control us and be able to basically monitor us on every single angle that they can possibly do so. That's why we've seen the massive metadata center out in Utah that I've talked about. They're trying to push the cashless society with the, you know, cashless currency that they want to start off now with the biometric payment system. You know, with the, it's funny because I saw a TV article, there was a TV show two or three days ago on local news. I was just flipping through, and it was addressing the issue of the traffic problem that we're having here in Florida. And it's funny because they were talking about this roadway and budget and this and that, and then two of the guys go, well, the most effective thing we can start doing is autonomous vehicles. That way it'll completely cut down on all this traffic. And, you know, I've talked about this repeatedly, and it sounds like a lot of times I'm beating it with a, you know, like a dead horse, but it's the truth because all this stuff is going together. What Dad was just talking about, to the cashless society, to the autonomous vehicles, it's all designed to slowly erode our basically ability to do things on our own and make us more and more and more dependent on electronics and other things that the government can therefore track, control, monitor, and manipulate that much further, whether it be in our country, whether it be in Russia, whether it be in China, whether it be just the globalist New World Order agenda. That's the way it's headed, Dad. So, yeah, that's a pretty wild article that Russia called them out. I'm glad they did.
It is. Oh, by the way, Sears Holding now is exhausting its last credit facility. Some of the key stockholders are actually liquidating their stocks in Sears. It risked running out of money just before the holiday season. It took less than a month. Sears Holdings disclosed on Monday in an 8K filing with the SEC that it drew down the remaining portion, $60 million of its $200 million in credit facility that it obtained on October the 4th. So this money is getting, is going through so fast. I mean, within a month, they've already burned $200 million. Sears has been bleeding cash. In the last quarter, it lost $251 million. In fiscal 2016, it lost $2.2 billion. In fiscal 2015, it lost $1.3 billion. Over the past 6 years, it has lost $11 million. Its sales recently, year-to-year, have been dropping 25% year-to-year. Every year, 25%. It's on track to close another 300 stores this year, on top of the hundreds of stores that already closed in prior years. Suppliers are very, very nervous, and the key relationships, such as the one between Sears and Whirlpool, have fractured. Now, with the holiday selling season is coming up, this requires lots of cash and product well in advance, especially with trade credit getting tighter because suppliers don't want to be hung out to dry. Advertising and promotions are costly. If the money runs out before the absolute critical, crucial holiday season ends, it's over for the shareholders, and the creditors will take control. So Sears is pretty much done. Kiss it goodbye. If you've got stock in Sears, well, it's dropped so hard already, I don't know what to tell you. But this is what they do in these big organizations, the big stores, and they get away with it. They borrow money, buy inventory with the borrowed money, and they don't pay their creditors back. Pretty soon, they owe hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, in borrowed money for inventory. They're selling the inventory, trying to pay the cash, the bills, and try to maintain cash flow without repurchasing inventory. The stores start getting cut off from their suppliers. They no longer have the inventory in stock, nor can they even order it because the suppliers have cut them off. And this is like a very death knell on an organization like this before it's over. I had a friend of mine who had a company in Winter Haven, and it was a electrical supply company and had been there for like 30 or 40 years. His father had started it, and he sold it to a crook out of Lakeland, Florida. And the guy in Lakeland, Florida did the exact same thing. He had the guy stay on staff for 3 years. That was part of the buyout, and he paid him like a third of the buyout every single year. And what he did is he required that he work and continue to work with the creditors who were supplying them electrical components and lighting fixtures, etc. And then what happened is he did exactly what these guys did. He started getting, instead of paying the bill in 30 days, started paying the bill in 90 days to the suppliers. Instead of 90 days, started paying it in 120 days. Instead of 120 days, started paying it in 6 to 8 to 12 months. And pretty soon, after 3 years, they had stockpiled all of this inventory that was left, and there was no way they could even order parts or products anymore to service the existing clients. And the company went belly up and had a massive closeout sale. And the person who bought the company made out with millions and millions and millions of dollars in income, direct income, through loans from the company because he never paid his suppliers back. This is a low-life thing to do as far as I'm concerned. I understand that sometimes people will have to be... This kind of stuff happens with sole proprietorships and small corporations because the people are basically saying, hey, you know, we've got to do something.
All right. Sorry, guys. I don't know what's going on with him as far as his service, why we can't get a good connection with him recently. I do apologize about that. It really frustrates me. We have this issue on a regular basis. And other news as well, though, the Utah nurse that was arrested, you guys remember we talked about this about a month ago, or about 2 months ago, that was arrested for not allowing the police officer to draw blood from an unconscious patient. She has agreed to a $500,000 settlement now. She went to court over it, and the attorney got her a $500,000 settlement about this because they said the officer completely violated her rights and the patient's rights in trying to draw blood from him. The sad part about this is that officer will never, ever see that money go out of his account. That's going to go out of the general fund for the police station. The insurance company's going to pay for it. I hope it does, though, do a little bit of, you know, good as far as trying to wake some of these officers up and make them realize that this is not something that's acceptable. She said she'll be using part of the money to help people get body camera footage at no cost of incidents involving themselves, she said at the news conference, because that was one of the ways she was able to get a lot of this taken care of because of some of the footage and somebody had recorded it. So it really helps in a situation like that. That's why I always tell people, you know, most of the time, depending where you live, if you get in a confrontation with law enforcement, at least with me, most of the time, I don't have an issue with them. If you know how to handle them correctly and you're respectful, it's usually not a problem. However, if you are in a situation, the situation is starting to escalate rapidly, it is a good idea to have you or your friends or your loved ones flip on a video camera with all these fancy phones we have now and make sure you record the entire incident, because if it goes to court, it's impossible for them to deny that if you actually have that on videotape footage. So I'm very glad in a lot of states they've ruled that everybody can record officers. Some states are trying to ban that still. That's totally and completely unconstitutional to bar somebody from being able to record a public servant doing public deeds out in public.
That's right.
There's no legitimate way to justify that whatsoever. But this girl getting a $500,000 settlement because of that incident and her actually standing up for the constitutional rights of that unconscious patient, I'm very, very glad to see she stood up for what was right. And at least she's getting a positive benefit from it, and she's going to do her best to use some of that money to help other people get footage whenever the police won't release it either. So definitely a interesting situation with that whole thing.
Yes.
But I'm glad that happened.
Austin, how long does she have to go in court to try to get that settlement, or they settle with her immediately?
They pretty much settled with her immediately. That situation was on August 31st, and it got released today, November 1st. So you're pretty much looking at 2 months, 60 days.
Yeah, usually what they do, they drag you in court for years, if not decades, depending on how deep their pockets are, and they basically bankrupt you trying to sue them over stuff like that. So I'm glad she was able to settle that quickly. How much of
the video footage is what set it up, though, because she had the whole thing on videotape of him arresting her and everything, and that was pretty much, I think, why they knew there was not going to be any way they was going to go to court and then be able to do anything. They had it all on video.
Wow. Oh, by the way, social justice warrior, and this is crazy, over in St. Augustine, Florida, causes a flash mob as she attempts to shut down a restaurant over one of the servers wearing a minstrel costume. Now, I had to look this up because I haven't really seen this before, but back in the 1800s, they used to have what's called minstrel acts and minstrel plays and all this other stuff, and what they were doing is they would have black people in the play or white people in the play wearing black makeup, trying to show what the black people were going through with the slavery, to try to depict the life of the black person, both positive and negative, as far as the people wanted to see what slaves were really being put through. And this person in the restaurant, because of Halloween, I guess, decided to wear a minstrel costume, a white guy, and painted his face black, and then it went berserk at the doggone restaurant. This is crazy. Is the mere act of wearing a minstrel stage makeup from 100 years ago a racist act? This article goes on to say, it's by Grider. My intern Haley and I were walking back to the car after lunch this afternoon here in America's oldest city when we heard vigorous shouting come from the area of the Prohibition Kitchen restaurant. As we got closer, the scene was a familiar one, ripped right from the news scenes. It seems that a server in the restaurant had decided to keep up with the 20th century theme of their work and wore a minstrel costume complete with the blackface makeup of that period, but the news spread quickly, and in a very short period of time, about 50 to 60 liberal college students had assembled with crudely lettered signs demanding the employee be fired or made to change their costume. Here's where it gets interesting. The restaurant refused to honor their request, citing the right of the worker to dress in a legitimate period costume on a day that celebrates costumes. So the students squared off and began chanting, "What you see in the video," which is basically some real negative stuff. The question is dressing like an authentic minstrel from the South on Halloween racism, or is it free expression of one's own speech? It's certainly well within the rights of the students to do what they did, as guaranteed under our Constitution. What about the rights of the server in the costume? Is the mere act of wearing stage makeup racist? Where do you draw the line? Guys, this is so ridiculous. This is like Hobby Lobby being hassled a couple of months ago because they were selling stalks of cotton in their store. I mean, this is complete and total nonsense. This is what these guys want to do, is to totally erase history. Like I said, they started with the Confederate flag, they started going after Confederate symbols, and now the NFL's gone after the United States flag of America. It's all about destroying the Republic. Now, quite frankly, is it a big deal? I could care less what kind of makeup the guy wears. I mean, it's okay for these guys to dress up as a Satan with horns, as a demon, or with the slasher movies or whatever, dressed up like that, which offends the heck of that. That really offends me, but I can't say anything about that. But this guy decides to wear stage makeup. This is complete nonsense. It goes again, the snowflakes are being taught this type of behavior in the colleges right now, and that's why these liberals, by the time they're 40 years old, if they still feel that way, that means they have no brain. They never learn to think. Total nonsense. What do you think, Austin?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, it's the hypocrisy that it shows with them. As long as it is cool with them and they like it and it furthers their agenda, they're okay with it and they could care less how much it offends everybody else around them. But as soon as it's something they don't agree with and it doesn't go along with their little liberal leftist agenda, they pitch a little temper tantrum and fall on the floor kicking and screaming, trying to demand that they get their way. It's quite nauseating, actually, that a lot of individuals now have grown up with this ideology that they think this is okay behavior. If you can just run around acting like this and pitching a fit if you don't agree with something or something offends you. But this is what they're intentionally doing now. They've done a great job at it. Also, too, I saw the article today that a top trends researcher, Gerald Salenti, he had a few different things to say basically what's coming up at the end of the year and towards 2018. He said, again, you see that they're constantly pushing the Russian narrative that the Russians had something to do with the DNC. He said, we know that has nothing to do with Trump, and that basically all this is doing is allowing the media to further push this so the military-industrial complex can grow even bigger. He said Russia's GDP is about 6% of America. However, Trump has increased our military budget by $54 billion. Up from what, 600 something billion that it was last year. The entire Russian military budget altogether is $48 billion total. Yet, we increased our military budget $54 billion up to like $650 billion total now, all under the guise of trying to make our military bigger and stronger. He said, you talk to the average person and they hate the Russians, it's working perfectly. He said, on the Clinton, he said, going back to the Uranium One deal, he said, yes, it's more than likely going to fall back on the Clintons eventually if more evidence comes out. Hundreds of millions of dollars were given directly to the Clinton Foundation by Russians as they did the uranium deal. Those are facts. He said, on the economy, we are now going into almost a year going into the Trump rally. He goes, I was negative on the stock market until Trump got elected. He said, we did a 180-degree turn. Trump is pro-business, so it is good for the markets, but it's more than likely a bubble. He also said for the economy, we're going to see a slowdown. Interest rates are going to go up. That's the bet. Interest rates are going to go up another 25 basis points in December. So we believe by the second quarter of 2018, we're going to start seeing a slowdown, because the only thing that has pumped up the markets is this very cheap money. The fish rots from the head down. The markets are going to melt from the head down, the head being the very rich part. The top 10% of the rich own 90%, 96% of the stock. So this thing rots down, and we're seeing it now on research. It's going to fall from the top. Y'all said China was more likely going to make big headlines in 2018, not using the petrodollar. They said they're buying Russian oil, their biggest supplier, with the yen now, that you can cash in the yen for
gold.
Yes. And you said you can cash in the same with Iran and with Saudi Arabia. There's another reason that China is going to go further. They start bringing your dollars to Walmart in a wheelbarrow, because that's what they're going to be worth. The Federal Reserve cannot keep printing up all the money that they want. They won't have it out there as a reserve currency. You will see inflation skyrocket in the country, and the gold will take off like Bitcoin did. We are believing it's starting to happen now. So that's just a few things on his end that he believes is going on. After we've seen this now with China and Russia cutting out the petrodollar, it's starting to happen very rapidly now. More than likely, it's going to be the demise of the U.S. dollar. But the globalists and the Federal Reserve are going to try to keep this going as long as they physically can, Deb.
No, I agree with that 100%. By the way, we had a terrorist attack in New York City. 8 dead in a rampage, cowardly truck attack in a New York City bike path in Manhattan. This happened in lower Manhattan, New York. A Muslim man in a rented pickup truck mowed down pedestrians and cyclists while shouting, Allah Akbar, I guess. And this was he was on a bike path and a pedestrian path and cycle path, and he killed at least 8 people, injuring 13 others in what the mayor called a particularly cowardly act of terror. The grave driver was just shot in the abdomen by the police and then taken into custody after jumping out of the truck what turned to be a fake gun in each hand, which I find that interesting. He screams Allah Akbar. And his condition was, now the official said his condition was not immediately released. The incident happened just after 3 p.m. Eastern time on the bike path that runs along the west side of the highway in lower Manhattan. And in Newark, police officials say the truck driven by the 29-year-old man entered the west stream pedestrian path and proceeded to strike multiple people on the trap path. It was apparently a rental unit of one he had bought or borrowed from Home Depot. And so he decided to go mow people down with it. And it's really, really sad, because this kind of stuff, We can't allow this, and Trump has now said that we need more extreme vetting to keep more of these Muslim psychopaths out of the United States, which, good luck with that. We've already brought millions and millions and millions more in there. In fact, the actual order was Trump orders Homeland Security to step up extreme vetting in the wake of the New York City attack, and he announced that he has ordered Homeland Security to do extreme vetting now, and he goes, I quote, his quote is, I've just ordered Homeland Security to step up our already extreme vetting program. He says, being politically correct is fine, but not for this, he wrote in a tweet. So, guys, I hope he can slow this thing down, and I hope we get some of these guys deported. But, guys, we've really saddled the pony on this one with Obama and Clinton and McCain and the rest of these nutbags to try to destroy our Christian culture. And now we've got these boys with us, so now we're going to have to sleep with these boys for a bit and try to figure out how to get rid of these boys. It's going to be a big, big mess, because, guys, if these guys really start reproducing like they've done in these Middle Eastern countries, and they start having 8, 9, and 10, and 12 children, you give this country about 30 to 40 years, there simply won't be a white population here at all. In fact, the Muslims will probably be outstripping the Hispanic population in the United States simply because of birth rates. But it's going to be sad when that happens, Austin. What do you think?
It is. That's what I talked about, just having unbridled immigration, and also the migration from the Middle Eastern countries, supposedly out of these war-torn countries, that we have now done research on and found that a lot of that is a total lie. The majority of the countries that most of these guys are coming out of and the areas that they're coming out of aren't even war-stricken areas. They're simply economic migrants is what they've referred to them now. It's simply people that can't find any significant jobs in those countries. So now they're fleeing the country to come to other countries like Europe and the United States in order to get free everything. Because if you guys remember when I talked about this last year, when they were bringing in individuals and migrants from Syria and other parts of the Middle East, they flew them in for free. When they get here, they basically get spending cash, like $500 spending cash. They also get whatever type of transport pass they can, whether it's bus, so forth. Then they're transported to their apartment that they're given. Then they're also given another prepaid spending card to buy furniture and other stuff on. and then they basically help them out with any type of other subsidies at the same time, trying to help them find a job, supposedly. And this is what they've done now, and they've made it unbelievably easy to come over here, unbelievably easy once they get here to stay here and essentially not have to produce or do anything productive for the society that they're living in. And that's not something that is going to be long-term. It can't. And so now we've let in so many individuals that we have no idea what their background is, no idea what their ideology is, no idea if they actually truly want to commit these types of heinous crimes like running people over or shooting people or knifing people. We have no idea. And so it's trying to vet this now, to me, is kind of counterproductive. I mean, I get what he's saying. Will it work? Possibly. Do I think it will? Probably not. Because a lot of these guys have been brought in here literally by the Airbus loads, one after another, and then dropped off, given a handful of cash, and they just say, okay, go do what you guys want to do. And, I mean, in other cases, the FBI has recruited these guys to try and get them to set them up for fake terror stings, as we've seen numerous times. So there's no telling if these guys were even actually set up for this, they were actually picked for this, if this is a true organic terrorist attack. There's no telling. I don't trust anything with the mainstream media anymore. And when a lot of times this stuff is going on now, it's just an excuse to try to take our rights further away from us. Also, too, in other news with North Korea, hundreds of North Korean nuclear workers have supposedly died after an accident at Kim Jong-un's main testing facility. North Korea's Pukyu-ri facility has suffered a devastating collapse, leaving 200 people dead. They said around 100 people were killed when an unfinished tunnel collapsed at the main nuclear testing site. Then another 100 people subsequently died while attempting to rescue the first group of entombed workers. That's a horrible way to die. I would never wish that on anybody. Dying from a collapse like that or an avalanche or anything of so forth, that's a really, really scary thing. Especially when you get trapped like that and you suffocate to death. It's just, that's horrible. I would never wish that on anybody. What boggles my mind about this whole article is that we're sitting over here saying, oh, these guys are going to launch nuclear weapons in the mainland of the United States. There's nothing we can do about it. We don't even know how to stop them. We just need to do a preemptive attack and invade this country now. Yet, they're still trying to figure out how to build proper tunnels without having them collapse on top of themselves over there. Damn. So, yeah, let's kind of use our brains for that, guys. Do we really need to go to a preemptive strike and invade a sovereign country because they supposedly have weapons that they can strike the mainland with that we have no idea how to stop them, which you guys know, everybody knows, that's completely and totally a lie, especially with our space-based weapon platform systems we have now and our defense systems. And these guys are over there just trying not to die from collapsing in tunnels on their nuclear testing facility site. Come on, guys. Let's actually see what's really going on here with the military-industrial complex and the push for another war and another invasion. That's what's really going on.
Austin, you remember when we went to Russia with you? Gosh, it must have been 15 years ago, 20 years ago now. And we went to St. Petersburg, and we were on a cruise. And we went to the military museum, and we toured the Church of the Spilled Blood, St. Isaac's Cathedral. I mean, we went all over St. Petersburg in Russia. And the people at the port, the military personnel there, it was right after the fall of the Soviet Union. The people at the port, they were real kind of sketchy because they were military. But when we got internally inside of St. Petersburg, we had a guide who drove us around in his car for like $100 a day. It was crazy. I mean, he gave us a tour of the whole city for like nothing. You know, we were there for like two full days. It cost us like $200. And I'll never forget how nice everybody was. I mean, everybody was so nice. And I remember the second day we went out, the people were so poor there, and there were people begging everywhere. The second day I went to the front desk, and I got them to give me $101 bills on the cruise ship. And I started giving money out to the people because they were literally starving to death. And there was a little lady at one of the churches, I remember we went to it, and I gave her like $5 or $6. And she was just, and she dropped on her knees and started, this is the Russian Orthodox Church, and started saying a prayer to bless me and my family. And I just sat there and I told her, thank you. And our guide was there and he was interpreting for us. And then I said, wow, that's crazy for a few dollars. And he said, you don't understand. You've just given her enough food to feed her entire family for the next month. He goes, you don't know what you did. You just changed her life. And I thought, wow. But she was so nice. Then a few more years ago, we were down in Machu Picchu, down in Peru. And we had a train ride to get to Machu Picchu, and we had a bunch of Russians on the train with us. And almost all of them spoke perfect English, and they were so nice. You know, and here's the thing. I can guarantee you all of these workers in North Korea that were so nice, I can guarantee you that these people in North Korea, they don't want a war with the United States.
Yeah.
They just know that they don't want us to go in there and bomb them now that we have this entire fleet surrounding them. And again, I'm going to say it like I said the other day. This is what Hillary Clinton wanted to do when she was running for president. She wanted to go in and take out North Korea, and she wanted to take out Russia. And now Trump's doing exactly what Hillary Clinton was going to do, saying the same rhetoric, doing the same things, because the military-industrial complex and the mafia run the United States. That's how it works. These mafias and these cartels run the United States, and that's what we have to understand, is that people all over the world are incredibly nice. I still remember when they had a ceasefire, like on Christmas Eve, years, you know, back in, during World War One, and the soldiers crossed the trench lines and exchanged gifts with the other soldiers they were shooting, and then it was over with, and everybody started shooting each other again. Guys, this is the Rothschild banking cartel, the Sabbatean Kabbalists, who want to have as many people die as they possibly can for their human sacrificial rituals. They don't care about anybody but to appease their master, their god, their serpent king they want to resurrect out of the pit. That's what all of this stuff is about. And as long as you understand that, it all makes sense in a sick kind of way. But if you don't understand what's going on from a spiritual standpoint, none of this makes any sense. In fact, Bloomberg actually came out with an article, which is pretty good, by Dina Shanker. And she says, Americans are officially freaking out. Almost two-thirds of America, almost 70%, say this is the lowest point in U.S. history, and it's keeping them up at night. They're worried about health care, the economy, and the overall feeling of divide between you and the neighbors and the racial conflicts that are going on. Almost two-thirds of America report being stressed out about the future of our nation, according to the American Psychological Association's 11th Stress in the American Survey conducted in August. I mean, this is absolutely nuts that this is going on. The current social divisiveness in America was reported by 59% of those surveyed because, as a cause of their own malaise. Guys, this is this race war that Obama tried to put together. When the APA surveyed Americans a year ago, 52% say were stressed out by the presidential campaign. Since then, the anxieties have only grown. Majority of more than 3,400 Americans polled, 59% said they considered this to be the lowest point in our nation's history. So, guys, here's what we have to understand. This is affecting everybody from every person in the United States. What's causing it? Healthcare, economy, the trust in the government, hate crimes, crime, wars, conflicts, terrorist attacks, high taxes, Social Security, government scandals, unemployment, low wages, and climate change, which is the lowest one, by the way. I should mention that. Policymakers need to understand that this is an issue that is important to people, and the uncertainty of having an impact on stress levels, and that stress has an impact on health status. Evans is pointing out that the relationship between stress and health is well established. In fact, I'll say this right now. Stress is one of the primary causes of every disease we have. Heart disease, diabetes, cancer, arthritis. Guys, we've got to walk. We have to learn to walk in peace. Fear, love casts out fear. We have to understand that, number one. And we have to realize that we have to love one another and respect one another, and we can walk in peace, and we can have walk in forgiveness. I know people right now who are angry over something that happened to them 20, 30, 40 years ago with another family member. They simply don't talk to them. Now, that's not good. Now, if you have a family member you can't get along with, then you guys are on okay terms, but you both decided that, you know, it's best just not to talk to each other because all you do is fight. Who cares about that? But when you're angry and bitter about something that someone did to you and you go to bed with it every single night, it causes all types of problems, because here's what it does. It decreases the hydrochloric acid's ability in your system to digest your food. That's number one. When that happens, you start going into an immediate mineral depletion because your body can't digest the heavy minerals like, you know, calcium and magnesium and potassium, etc. And so your body starts to get weaker and weaker and weaker, and you start using your mineral reserves to maintain your life and your energy fields. And when that happens, your system starts to run down. It's like basically running out of fuel, and your lamp gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer because you never put anything back into it. Then you start having degenerative diseases, heart disease, diabetes, cancer, all of these things, arthritis, crippling arthritis because of this. All of this begins based upon the stress, the bitterness, the anger, the anxiety, and the unwillingness to walk in forgiveness. Guys, years ago I had a big fight with my sister after my mom's death. I'm not going to bore you guys with the details because it's a family matter. But my sister and I have never really gotten along very well for various reasons. And I finally told her, I said, I tell you what, you know, here's the deal. As far as I'm concerned, let's just go ahead and park this way right now and be done with this. I said, until you can learn to treat me and my family with mutual respect, I see no need in causing all of this conflict between us. Let me know if you ever want to start acting normally. That's what I said to her. You say, well, does that mean you have bitterness towards her? Absolutely not. Because here's what I do. I pray for her all of the time. I pray for her. I pray for her husband. I pray for people that have offended me. And guys, if you ask someone to bless, if you ask God to bless the person who offended you, and I'm not talking about non-sincerely, I'm talking about sincerely asking God to forgive them for what they've done, and you do it over and over and over, God will lift that burden from you, because you can't bless somebody and be angry at them. It doesn't work that way. And what happens is, you've got to understand the law of reciprocity and the law of sowing and reaping in the Bible. When you bless somebody else who's not willing to be blessed, then what happens is those blessings will come back right to you. That's what happens. And it's not a selfish way of doing it, but what it is a way to prevent that stress from taking your life and killing you with heart disease and diabetes and cancer and crippling arthritis. I mean, I've seen people sit on the front porch before in a rocking chair, and you ask them how they're doing. I'm all mad because my sister said so-and-so to me 30 years ago. And they're sitting there, and they're all curled up in a knot from the arthritis. They've got cancer. They're on 15 different meds, and they're unbelievably ticked off still from something that happened 30 years ago. Guys, that's no good. I've got some pastors over the years that have done us really, really, really wrong. Really wrong. I pray for those pastors, for their churches to be blessed on a regular basis, almost daily. I have other people in my life, in my childhood, that did me wrong, and I prayed for them to be blessed, and that lifted that burden off of me. Guys, when we walk in forgiveness, it changes everything. That's how we have to be as Christians. The Muslims don't walk in forgiveness. The Jews don't walk in forgiveness, because they walk in the old Abrahamic law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, you know? We can't be like that. What set us apart is that we love one another, and that we love God, and we honor Him, and we obey His commandments, and we do what pleases Him. And hating somebody else and walking in bitterness does nothing to please God. All it does is causes unbelievable health problems for you, and all of those people around you get affected by your negative energy. So guys, please, don't do that. Walk in love and bitterness. I've had people attack me on the radio for something that I said or something that I did. I just walk in love. I just don't even mention it. I don't talk about it. I just pray for these people on an ongoing basis, because I know something, guys. The curse causeless shall not come. That's what the Word says. So if you've got bitterness and anger in your heart, in your life, and you come down with heart disease or diabetes or cancer or crippling arthritis, it's because you have planted those seeds in your own body. So it's exactly like this lady said in this article. Stress has been linked to every major disease. So guys, please use our cortisol buster. It's loaded with ashwagandha and a bunch of other adaptogenic herbs. It takes that away. I take those products and those herbs every single day, like clockwork. I took them just a few minutes ago. And it calms you down, settles you out, along with the B-complex, gives you tremendous energy, and it makes you feel stable and calm all of the time, and it lets you not get anxious about stuff. Guys, the worst thing you can do is stay angry and bitter at somebody else for the rest of your life, especially when that person is already dead. Guys, I've seen that too. So-and-so did me wrong 20 years ago. They're dead now. May they never rest in peace. I can't stand them. And they started, and I'm like, are you kidding me? They're dead. How can you possibly be mad at them? They're gone. It doesn't make any difference. They've allowed that person or that instance to change their entire life forever for the negative, and they're unwilling to change also. What do you think?
Yeah, that's some really good info, man, because you're right. I think everybody, you know, we all know somebody like that, where, I mean, they're still bitter and angry over something that happened a very, very long time ago. And, I mean, that's why we, you know, always recommend, especially if you have a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety, products like the Cortisol Buster and the B-Complex, like you just mentioned. Even that, just funny, the Cortisol Buster is actually on sale right now, product of the week. Just not even to pitch it, but it really is right now. And it's such a big seller. It sells all the time because it really does a great job. Unfortunately, I left my bottle on the counter at the house this morning when I left the airport, so I don't have any with me right now, especially after that 4.5-hour flight, which was definitely not the most fun thing I've done in a while. But I'm only going to be out here for 3 days, so I'll be back on my normal supplement routine when I get back home on Saturday night. But, yeah, you're right, Dad. I mean, that's a huge aspect that a lot of people don't address, And I mean, it's one thing, you know, if you get frustrated about something, you have a spat with somebody. But I mean, that's why it even says in the Bible, don't let the sun go down on your anger. The reason
right.
he says that, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, it's not just on the Christian forgiveness and love aspect. That's huge, because he says, above all, love. The other aspect of it is, too, is the same thing we see with the dietary guidelines. He knows it's not beneficial or healthy for us to go to sleep every night with a significant amount of bitterness and anger and basically unresolved conflict between you and a friend or family member that you won't resolve. You're still mad. You're letting the sun go down on your anger. You know, I had a talk with one of our customers the other day, and they said it's so funny how you'll see people and they'll be eating pork and they'll be eating shellfish and they'll pray over it. And they say, listen, we're saved by grace. If you eat pork, if you eat shellfish, if you eat the foods that are unclean in the Old Testament, you're not going to go to hell. You're probably really not even sinning, honestly, because you're covered by grace. But there's a reason why God gave them that, and it really had nothing to do with your sinning or you're not sinning. It was the fact that he knew there were certain things for us that are not beneficial, that were not healthy, and were not conducive to a long-term, long lifestyle that was full of peace, happiness, and health. He knew that. And one of those is, don't eat unclean meat. And another one is, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Those are simple things that he told us to do, not, in my opinion, to just make random rules. Well, I don't want John Smith to be able to eat pork because I want to laugh at him when he can't eat it. Ha ha. God doesn't do stuff like that. He knew that those are bottom feeders. He knew that lobsters are crustaceans and they feed off the fecal matter of other fish in the sea and they feed on trash. He knew that hogs do the same thing on land. He knew these things, and so he said, don't eat them. They're not designed for you to eat. If you saw a vulture on the side of the road eating a dead possum carcass, you look at it and say, man, where's my rifle? I want to shoot that thing and fry it up. I want to eat some vulture wings tonight. That just sounds delicious. I've never heard somebody say that because it's disgusting. But people do the same thing with crustaceans in the ocean and with hogs out in the woods and don't think twice about it, and they want to sit there and turn around and bless it and pretend like it's a really healthy meal and God's going to sit there and give you some type of blessing from that filthy food that you're eating. The same thing goes with what Dad just said. Don't sit there and expect to have incredibly good health, low stress, low anxiety, high energy, feeling great if you're going to turn around and you're going to have all types of anger and bitterness and hatred towards people for long extended periods of time and you refuse to resolve it, Dad. So that was some really good info. I'm glad you addressed that today.
Well, thank you, Austin. Now, let me jump on the pork thing for just 1 second. In the old days of Rome, they had like a target. And, you know, in the target was like, you hit the mark, it'd be the middle of the target, it's like with a bow and arrow, and then the next circle ought to be sin one, the next circle ought to be sin two, the next circle ought to be sin three. And what sin is missing the mark that God set for us. So, you know, we have to understand that. God gave us a certain thing that he wanted us to do. He set the mark for us in the Old Testament as far as not eating pork, not eating shellfish, you know, not touching unclean foods, all these things he says not to do. Now, the reason he told the Israelites to do that, because he wanted them to be separate and to live long and to prosper in the land that he was giving them, and he didn't want them coming down with heart disease and diabetes and cancer, because he knew what those meats would do, because he knew they were basically bottom feeders or basically little mini septic tanks like pigs are. So, to me, if I was Jewish, I would understand that more, but a lot of Jews continue to eat pork even when they claim to be Jew, But here's the thing. When God gives you a commandment like the Ten Commandments or not to eat pork or whatever, it's not one of these cardinal things that basically is going to send you to hell as a Christian. It won't do that, but it's still missing the mark. And so it's still a form of sin for New Testament believers. In fact, if you look at Acts chapter 10, it says there were like four things that the Gentile believers turning to God were required to do. They were not to allow to eat the meat of strangled animals. They were to avoid blood. They were not to eat the meat sacrificed to idols. And they were to avoid sexual immorality. Three of the four things that Gentile believers turning to God were required to do were diet and health related, period. You have to look at it that way. So we have to understand that God is the God of reasoning. It also says in Matthew, when Jesus was talking to the folks that he was teaching to, he said, I don't have my Bible here in front of me, so I'm doing it all from memory. He said that not one jot, not one tittle would by any means disappear from the law until all these things are accomplished, and anyone who teaches anyone else not to do these things will be considered least in the kingdom of heaven. So here's the thing. Is eating pork sinning from a technical standpoint? Yes, because it's missing the mark. Is it a sin that's going to send you to hell if you're a born-again Christian? Absolutely not. Does it please God that you're doing it and you know that it's wrong? Absolutely not. because God doesn't want you to do things to your own body that's going to create a problem. He said, don't you know that ye yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit lives within you? And if you destroy God's temple, it says in the word, he will destroy you. And not, he's not going to send down like a lightning bolt or zap you or whatever. But what's going to happen is the natural physical laws of God are going to come in and step in and take control of your life. It's like saying, I don't believe in the law of gravity and stepping off a 10-story building. You know, you'll think you're flying for a few seconds until you splat at the bottom of the hill, right? You don't understand that that's a natural physical law. It's like eating pork. Not eating pork is a natural physical law. You could do it. It's like you step off that 10-story building, but it's never going to have good consequences. That's why we have to understand that we need to eat as clean as we possibly can. And by the way, I talked to my printer yesterday, and our book is at the press getting the binding put on it right now, and it hopefully will be in transit to our office by the end of this week or by the first part of next week, the new book, Eat Clean and Be Healthy. We also have the Kindle version available, but we're not going to release that yet for a while until we get rid of some of the paperback copies. So guys, this is going to be an incredible cookbook that you guys are going to love. By the way, one more thing. Here's a list of locations for the November 4th Antifa anti-Trump protest on November the 4th. I want to let you guys have a heads up. Atlanta is going to have a huge protest, which kind of surprised me because it's in the South. That'll have to be paid protesters. Same thing with Austin. Boston, that doesn't surprise me. They'll probably have plenty of people there already. Let me tell you something about Boston. I never told you this on the air. I'm going to tell you this right now. I remember years ago I was supposed to be on the show in Boston. This is back in the 90s. This is like over 20 years ago. And I remember I was doing with one of the top talk shows in Boston, Massachusetts. And when I was sitting on hold waiting for the show to start, they asked everybody to send in pictures for the gay poster boy contest. God, I'm not joking, you guys. I'm not joking you. They're having a gay poster boy contest in Boston when I was watching, waiting on hold to do this huge talk show, one of the top shows in Boston at that time. And I just hung up the phone. I said, the heck with this. I do not want my name associated with this. They called me back like an hour later and said, dude, why'd you hang up? And I said, I don't want to be associated with the gay poster boy contest. And they said, oh, I can't believe you're like that. I said, well, I'm like that. You lost a bunch of money this morning not being on our show as far as on your book and CD and tape sales. I said, I don't care. I said, I don't want to be associated with that. So they're not going to have a problem finding people in Boston to protest. Chicago also, not a problem there. Cleveland, not going to be a problem there. Honolulu, pretty much a communist state, not going to have a problem there. Los Angeles, not a problem. New York, not a problem. Omaha, a little surprise. They'll probably have to bring some paid protesters in there. Philadelphia, not going to be a problem. See what they're doing? They're picking these super liberal states and cities like Portland, yep, Oregon, and San Francisco and Seattle to gather. That way they can get the maximum amount of coverage because they can draw the maximum amounts of crowds. Notice, they're not having one up here in North Carolina. They're not having one down there in Polk County where we live, Austin, because they know better. Because, you know, the, yep, Southern boys and the folks down in our area aren't going to be there. Now, in Atlanta, that surprises me, but there's a lot of liberals in Atlanta now, and again, what they'll do, they'll bring in their paid protesters by the busload, again, in these areas where they cannot create a generic presence. So, guys, it's like Austin said yesterday, I doubt this is going to have much to do about anything as far as the November 4th protest. Quite frankly, I think it's going to fizzle out, because I think a lot of folks are beginning to realize that this is a George Soros, MoveOn.org, Black Lives Matter nonsense, some kind of communist ridiculous Antifa nonsense. So, guys, just be preppy and be aware of where you are in those days, and just try to avoid those if you're in those cities. Guys, I want to thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for listening to the shows. Sorry we had two disconnects with us today. It was my battery in my car is going dead. I'm doing this off the Wi-Fi in the car. So, guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for being there for us. Thank you for listening, and thank you just for being part of our family. I'm going to go ahead and close, Austin. I'll do the write-up, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless. And, Austin, you be careful in Las Vegas, and I'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.
All right. Sounds good, brother. Yes, guys. Thank you. We appreciate the bearing with us today when we get some of the disconnected times. I'll try and talk to him tomorrow. Hopefully we can get a better connection in the car, make sure it doesn't happen again. But also, too, as I mentioned earlier, healthmasters.com, we have the Cortisol Buster on sale. Very, very popular product. Supports healthy cortisol levels, supports relaxation, restful sleep, mental clarity, and alleviates occasional fatigue. It's on sale right now for over 7% off. Definitely want to check that out on the website. As we were talking about earlier, really helps out if you're under a lot of stress, if you're traveling, if you're exposed to a lot of stuff, it's fatiguing you. Very, very good option there. And as Dad said as well, be aware of what's going on this weekend. I wouldn't be fearful of anything because I'm not fearful of much of anything except God Almighty. But make sure you guys are aware of what's going on in St. Frosty and any situations that you may end up in. You don't have to prove a point. You guys already know a lot of these guys are paid for. If you're driving somewhere and something happens, just turn around and leave. There's absolutely no reason to get, you know, reckless endangerment with a vehicle or a hit and run or something stupid like that, as we've seen multiple times. These guys will block your vehicle. They will jump under the tire. They will make you hit them, and they'll do it on purpose so that way they can file charges on you. They can demonize you and make you look like you're the big bad boogeyman because you're the, you know, conservative Republican or libertarian that opposes their ridiculous protest. So just be aware of that. If you're any of those cities that Dad brought up and any other ones that he didn't bring up, if you see something very strange about it, just call local PD and let them handle it. Stay out of the situation. Try and escalate it. Now, if the situation escalates and you cannot get away from the situation and somebody's carrying a weapon or a deadly weapon or brandishing a firearm, well, you guys already know how I feel about that situation. So handle it accordingly by a case-by-case basis. But, guys, we appreciate everything. Thank you for the support. Thank you for all the phone calls. I know I talked to Harrison earlier. The office is busy. You guys are definitely great customers. We appreciate everything. I'm going to stay safe out here. Hopefully I can get a little bit more research done tomorrow and talk to some more people in Las Vegas, but I'm pretty strong consensus. I'm going to keep hearing the exact same thing from everybody. So we appreciate it. We love you guys. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.